May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, back in January this year, I was at a meeting with a few other clergy, and we were talking about what all we were going to do for Lent this year in our parishes during the pandemic, being online. And as the chat made its way around the circle, it became clear that there really wasn't a lot of energy for Lent this year in the middle of the pandemic. Everyone was feeling tired, burnt out, our hearts exhausted, and overwhelmingly looking forward to this whole thing just being over. Finally, the whole mood was summed up when someone took a deep breath and decided to be open about it. He said, "I don't think I'm going to do Lent this year." He said, "Look, Lent is a time to confront our mortality and focus on self-discipline. And isn't that what we've been doing for the whole past year? My people are mostly seniors," he said, "and they're well aware of their mortality right now. And everyone is worn out by our ongoing efforts at self-discipline. Don't see your grandkids, don't hug your loved ones, don't go south to warmer climes where you don't need to worry about slipping on the ice. We've been doing Lent since this time last year, and we don't need to make it more intense for another 6 weeks." And there was a lot of compassion for this around the Zoom circle. I'm sure that his parishioners are not the only ones feeling that way. I'm not even a senior, and heck, I feel that way. But I think that we get something wrong about Lent by understanding it that way. So I present to you, sisters and brothers, a sermon today entitled "A Defense of Lent During a Pandemic." If you read your Bible, you will find that disasters are a regular part of the community of faith. Famines came with deadly power, and Israel was sort of trapped geographically between two massive empires, one to the northeast and one to the south. And then there were later empires to the west, like Rome, and all of these empires just dwarfed the military might of Israel. So the terrors of famine and military conquest just were ongoing over and over, generation after generation. So while Christianity, as we know, later rose to power across the Western world, the biblical story of our faith is a story of people often living under conditions of suffering. And it's a story of finding empowerment, generosity, honor, dignity, and righteousness in the face of all that. Think of the story of Moses. Think of the story of Esther that we studied several years ago, living in exile in Babylon. Think of Jesus and the intensity of his courage in the face of Roman state terrorism. Think of Paul and all the hardships that he boasted of. Compassionate, faithful, charitable to those even less fortunate, steadfastly determined to persevere in doing what is right in the face of all that. That is our story of faith. And if you are with us on Ash Wednesday and you listen to that reading from Isaiah, you will know that is the religious observance that God asks from us above everything else, to remain steadfast in generosity and goodness and justice, despite whatever temptations we find to do elsewhere. Here we are in the middle of our pandemic. Now, let us thank God that it is not like one of the plagues of old, where death rates could be 10% or 25% or 40%. But it is pandemic enough for us, and thank you very much. We don't want any more of a pandemic. A year in, we are all tired, our self-control is running low. And if you, like us, are watching the rise of these different variants around the world, I mean, it is frightening to feel that we are not in control. At this moment, those of us who have grown up in Canada and have had the benefit of living in a very, very safe, generally, no matter what we think about the vaccine protocols, I mean, it's a generally very well-run country. Well, at this moment in our lives, we may be closer to that biblical experience of faith than we have ever been before. Closer to that sense that terrible things are happening and we are powerless to stop them. Yet that is the biblical story of faith. And God meets us right here in this feeling. Just as God has met people of faith down through the generations when they have been met with calamity. And the message that God has for us, the message that God has over and over and over and over again for us in Scripture is as follows. You are not powerless. You are not powerless. God says to us, even in the midst of this, you can make choices. And your choices, God says to us, are important. It is not about what is fair or unfair, although the biblical record covers that in very great detail. It is not about what our neighbors are doing versus us. It is not about what our elected leaders are doing versus us. It is about each of us persevering in the face of trials and being resilient in our faith, being generous and honorable and righteous and compassionate and faithful and charitable in the face of all this. And every time we do that, this extraordinary thing happens. We discover our power. We are not powerless. We have choices that we can make. And deciding to make those choices identifies for us the power that we have. We discover our power to hold fast in goodness. And I reckon that that is like a muscle. Actually, when I say I reckon, I think that neuroscience has proven this for us. It is like a muscle that weakens if we never use it and strengthens every time we practice it. Saying no to bitterness, saying no to defeatism, saying no to jealousy of people who are betraying the rules. It takes strength to say no to all of that. Bitterness, jealousy, disappointment, anger. It takes strength. We got to practice that. And it is so tempting right now to just fall into it. We've got to practice that. Saying no, no thank you. And to practice turning towards goodness. Strengthening that muscle until turning towards goodness is natural, easy, even in the face of more challenging trials still. That is the worship that God chooses, that turning away from the bad to the good. That is the worship God chooses. And did you know the word repentance means to turn around, to say no thank you to all that badness and to turn towards God and the goodness and the justice and the mercy that God asks of us. That is the worship God chooses. And that is beautifully, deeply empowering. That is the message of Lent. Everything that God asks from us in Lent is in fact profoundly good. It is profoundly beautiful. For your neighbors, for yourself and for all of creation. Here in Canada, we don't often face collective disasters like this that go on and on and on like a marathon that doesn't seem to end, where we just need to keep running and keep asking ourselves for more. And so in those of us who have spent a long time in Canada or grown up here, we are used to Lent feeling different from the rest of the year. But this year, as my colleague said, it is Lent that feels all too familiar. Now that's a bad thing, only if Lent is unpleasant. But what if Lent is empowering? What if Lent is clarifying or uplifting or engaging? What if Lent shows us our power to choose good even when the world around us makes it very difficult? In that case, Lent actually gives us fantastic language to talk about what we're living through right now. Lent is the season that we're living through. Each year, Lent reminds us of our human frailty and our need for God's grace and the importance of self-discipline. Okay, fine, this year we don't need the reminder, but we need all the rest that Lent brings us, the practices that help us along the way, the ongoing reassurance of God's mercy, the fact that every Sunday we are invited to admit what is not going well, and every Sunday we have an opportunity to reset and try again. Every Sunday during Lent is an opportunity to say, okay, this game is not going so good. Let's reset and let's try again. That is an experience of God's mercy. Lent is full of coping skills to help us with life's impermanence. In the face of all that we cannot control, which could easily overwhelm us, Lent reminds us every year that, you know what? This is part of the journey too. This year in particular, Lent reminds us it's only part of the story. Part of the story, just like Christmas is just part of the story, just like Easter will be part of our story again this year, just like the pandemic is only part of our story, just like our sins are only part of our story. As we walk through this difficult part of the story, may God bless us abundantly with Lenten gifts. Gifts of resilience and empowerment and steadfastness in faith. May God remind us of the power that we have, each of us, to choose the good. And may God help each of us to hold fast to the hope that is set before us. May these and many other Lenten blessings be yours, my brothers and sisters. Amen.